clever pun.
Hello and welcome to The Conversation. It's another live E3 episode, and today we're discussing Nintendo's reveals. Oh boy, I'm Heil Russell, and who's with me on this magical journey this evening?
Mitchell Wolf.
And Jeff Onan are both here.
That's two of us, but we're the opposite of each other. I'm the Jeff one.
Unless this is some
sort of I'm the Mitchell one. That's important that you corrected that because it's an audio only medium, and this is definitely people's first episode watching because of the cool big Donkey Kong reveals.
Yeah,
they can't see that I'm sitting on your lap.
Yeah, they can't feel it either. Just like me.
Okay.
What? I just
Mitchell
assumed...
lost feeling in his legs. I don't know what that.
See,
it's a completely irrelevant thing. It's just a second thing.
All right, you two. I think I made a mistake picking my co-host for this episode because I'm not going to get you two to stop with the banter.
We're feeling rowdy. I was commenting on this before the show started. This is a weird day. I don't know.
Listen,
Heil. I gotta. You know, hold on. I don't know if you can hear that, but I'm a sports fan, Heil. And we have this kind of mentality in my, you know, household. When you're watching sports, it's win or lose, you wash it down with booze. So, you know, and I don't know if you'd call today a win.
Well,
either way, I'm drinking.
Look at our Twitch/YouTube/SoundCloud key art and tell me if this is a win. All right, let's just get this out right now. Let's lead with it. There's no point in building up to it like 40 minutes into it. It was a disappointing day. I'm not going to lie. Not for everyone, obviously. Not for everyone. Not for every fandom. Not for everybody who listens to The Conversation. I'm sure there's lots of listeners. I'm sure there's lots of people behind the microphone right now who got games they're very excited about. And hey, it's great. I'm happy. Happy for all of you. From my perspective, and from the perspective of, let's say, the DK Vine editorial direction, it's a disappointing day. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, as someone who's followed these Nintendo E3 Directs since they've been doing them, 2013 was their first year where they left the stage show, but I've also followed Nintendo at E3 online every year since 1999, and I've also waited for E3 coverage in general every year since 1996, you know, after I learned that E3 was a thing the preceding year. So, you know, I've learned a few things about E3, and specifically Nintendo at E3, and that's unless you're a diehard Mario fan, you win some and you lose some. The sports analogy that Jeff just said, because he's a sportsman. It'd be great. It'd be fantastic if Nintendo could offer emotional support to the fans of every series that they own, every E3. And even if they're not ready to announce a game, say, hey, we're thinking about you, F-Zero fans. We love you. And then, like reach out their hand as if they're stroking us. That would be great, right? It's not going to happen. That's not the way a major international corporation behaves. They don't stroke their fans. It's probably weird.
I feel like this is a weird bend to take. I know what podcast I'm on. I understand this. but also, like, Advance Wars, you know? Like, this is, of all the weird E3s, you know? Like, there was some stuff for, like, the weird excluded fandom.
But I said at the top of the show, for some fans, this was a great E3. This was a great Nintendo Direct. Won't be for everybody, but that's the nature of these things. That's my whole thesis here. And, you know, as a Donkey Kong fan, hey, yeah, you know, I would have loved to have the game announced today. And Nintendo had some big reveals on this show. But I couldn't help think, and maybe this is just my perspective. Mitchell, you'll probably disagree with me. Jeff, I'm not sure. But, and I'm not even sure who's who right
now. Wild card, baby.
Yeah. You could be still doing the Freaky Friday thing, and I don't know who I'm talking to. But, you know, I think, you know, there were some, I think, notable absences maybe during this Direct. And I can't help but think the pandemic has definitely slowed a lot of things down. More so than Nintendo would ever, you know, fully cop to. I don't know. It seemed a little shallow, but understandably shallow. And that, again, they had some surprises. But I think because this was the first E3, quote-unquote E3, in 2 years, you know, everything was predicted by everybody, and everybody was, you know, frothing at the mouth coming into this, ready for just the greatest Nintendo Direct ever. And, of course, people are going to be disappointed. But, you know, I'm drinking right now, so I might get a little sloppy. I might start slurring my speech, and that's okay. You know, Jeff said it's okay. Jeff, I can drink, right?
That's on you. I don't know your limits, Kyle. I don't know. But that being said, I will push you to drink, whether you want to or not. That's a sports fan in me. We gotta, you know, gotta go hard, never go soft. But
yeah, that's like the best version of a really bad friend rather than a bad version of a really good friend. So you have that,
yes.
Jeff.
Yes, and I think that's a good thing.
No.
It's not my job to think too hard about it. but, you know, what I'll say is this, and we're going to get into the nitty and the gritty and all the space between them.
The ninty and the grinty.
Shut up, Kyle. Shut up. Shut up. But, you know, just high level, this was a decent Direct from if I take myself out of my body and just kind of look at it. I don't think it was a good Direct. I don't think it was a great Direct by any means. I think it was as good as you probably should or could have expected because of COVID.
Yeah.
And you can't be too disappointed because the stuff that you didn't get to see, there's big conspicuous things that we still suspect are coming. Not just Donkey Kong, but like there's a lot of stuff we didn't see that we know is coming. So the fact we didn't see it in a normal year, you would say, "Oh, there's nothing good." In this post COVID year, you have to say, "Oh, the good stuff is just a little slow this time." And you know, that's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, like we saw Breath of the Wild 2, but we didn't see a lot of Breath of the Wild 2, you know? There was, like, a teaser. There's no mention of Splatoon 3. And then the heavily predicted Switch Pro, new Nintendo Switch, whatever. Nothing. Nothing at all. No mention at all. And don't get me wrong, right? I don't care about the Switch Pro. I'm not, like, on Twitter every day. It's just Switch Pro, Switch Pro. Because, like, oh, yeah, I really want to buy a new console. Yeah, that's really exciting for me. No thanks. But, you know, we didn't hear anything about it. So,
Well, can I have a talk? Hey, guys.
Hey.
You know how every Discord server has that one person that whenever anything bad happens, that is, like, provably mathematically a bad thing, i.e., I don't know, Byleth and Smash. You got that one person who's like, actually, I think bad is good. And they like, get just, like, weird about it. And to this person that always exists in every Discord server, first off, I salute you. And second off, on this podcast, it's me. Because I thought this Direct was pretty good for what it was. And I'm not going to lie. I do share the same fundamental, you know, frustration with the fact that it does seem very likely, just according to all the hubbub and also just, you know, timing, that there's probably a Donkey Kong game that they're hiding away in their little secret bushel of games that they have over there. and they're not showing us that bushel.
Yeah.
So that is frustrating. But, yeah. I think in general, especially if you are, let's call it open to getting excited about something that maybe you wouldn't be excited about otherwise. There's a lot of cool stuff. Like, you know, we'll get into all the stuff, but the significance of something called Metroid Dread is enormous. The significance of Metroid Dread probably eclipses Prime 4 in terms of just like how big of a thing it is for this franchise. It would be like having it be announced that not only is there a game that is a Donkey Kong Racing game in the works, but it's called Donkey Kong Racing, and maybe even Rare's working on it. It's like that level of, holy crap, this really came back.
Well, and Mitchell, okay, like,
that's exciting up until it sells 35,000 copies. But listen, I'm excited for people who are excited.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think this will sell at least 5 million copies.
Okay, why are we debating sales
figures?
I'll
take that bet. Okay. I'm going to guess, not the sales figures are the be all end all, but I'll take the bet. It's going to be under 5 million.
Jeff, you have a gambling problem. I've been meaning to talk to you about it.
I put nothing on the line just now.
You're talking about slot machines.
There's no way I can lose.
Talking about slot machines, and now you're betting on sales figures.
Have you seen The Last Dance? All right, listen.
Hey, all I need to do is like buy 1.5 million copies, and like I put it over the line almost guaranteed.
You're like one of those bulk book.
All you
buyers.
Have to do is buy 1.5. Yeah,
that's it.
I said already. I think this was a good direct. I
you
think
it was a
the
decent
stuff
direct.
That we, I said is decent. I think that
you actually said it
lot.
Wasn't good.
Yeah, you said it was decent, not good. And I was going to back you up there. I was going to back you
let's
up there.
Not, but- let's not be the judge of what I said or what I didn't say. But what I will say,
if only
is
we were
that
recording this,
this was a lot better than a direct that was just a lot of nothing. Like sometimes you have a thing where it's like, oh, the whole show is going to focus on kind of one game and a little sizzle reel of like a small handful of other ones that don't matter. This wasn't like that. There was a lot of things, and there's a lot of things that for the people who they specifically appeal to are big, but are not objectively giant things.
Yeah. So like, as I was saying,
I don't think remakes of Game Boy Advance games in Advance Wars are gigantic news items. I think it's awesome to see Advance Wars back, but it's going to be a $60 remake of a couple Game Boy Advance games. Let's call it what it is. This was a direct that had a lot of those medium to cool announcements that add up over time. It wasn't a direct that was, you know, had anything really giant to write home about.
Yeah, as I was saying, you know, I am happy for the people who are happy. I'm not trying to piss in anybody's punch bowl here, unless that's what you want, and then I'm happy to oblige. But it's the conversation. This is the conversation, so I do have to approach this from the perspective of what Donkey Kong diehards are feeling right now. So, you know, and like, so I don't want to like snatch the joy from anybody who's like really excited about the Advance Wars remakes, or of course Metroid Dread, which we will discuss a little bit. And Jeff, I agree with your assessment about this E3. Mitchell, I'm not giving you the cold shoulder here. I agree with your perspective too, even if I don't personally understand it, even if I don't feel what you're feeling. I still respect you, sir.
I love that you're just going around agreeing with things you don't understand. That's cool.
Who has
that's
the time?
That's a cool guy
to understand everything.
This isn't one of those aught teens. What do we call it, the last decade? This isn't a 2015 or 16 E3 Nintendo Direct where they've got really nothing to show, where they've got one game to show. This was varied. This had some surprises. It couldn't help but feel a little underwhelming, considering especially where the Donkey Kong fandom was coming in and what we were hoping for. And, you know, I know, look, I was trying to temper expectations the entire month. Ever since these rumors really blew open into the mainstream, I've been trying to get people like down off the ledge and say, hey, I don't think it's going to be at E3, or maybe it's going to be a 50-50 shot, but I just don't know. I haven't heard anything personally about this game for over a year. The pandemic happens. You know, I just don't see it happening at E3, but it might, and I hope it does. And so, you know, knowing that, you know, I still was hoping, obviously. I was still getting giddy. And so, of course, I'm bummed. It's always super deflating when you don't get what you want at E3, because it is like getting a sweater at Christmas or something like that. It's just like, oh, thank you. Oh, that, you know, but the difference between this E3 and, say, from a DK Vine perspective, let's say E3 2012, is that I know, and you two know, there's good things ahead for Donkey Kong. And I bring up E3 2012 because that was an E3 where we got a Mario Party game announced, but no Donkey Kong news. And we were kind of expecting Donkey Kong news that year.
Oh, Kyle,
yeah.
12, the number 12 is the it's the inverse of it's the number 21.
Sister.
It's the sister. It's the palindrome.
It's twin sisters.
Okay, it's also the 10-year anniversary next year, but
inside each of us are two twin sisters.
fuck. All right.
One of us wants to go to Forever 21 and the other wants to go to Forever 12.
I'm banned from Forever 12.
Jeff, you should be.
Because you're only 11, Jeff.
Don't go.
Because I'm not, I think 15 at most you can shop at Forever 12. 16-year-olds, you're out. Get out of here.
Anyway, we've had deflating E3s like this before. And, you know, I remember how despondent people have gotten. And I'm not despondent. I'm just disappointed. I'm also disappointed for the community, because, you know, I wanted us to have this moment at E3. Like, what a celebration that would be. And I'll just say this. If you are feeling disappointed right now, you know, I know that we, the consumers, the fans, the people who buy the games, play them, we're the ones who keep companies like Nintendo afloat. And because of that, we occasionally feel entitled to news about our favorite franchises. But, you know, the truth is, these games are developed by human beings. And with human beings come the same realities, frailties, and just day-to-day grind that we all suffer from. So if the new Donkey Kong game is not ready to be shown yet, I don't want it to be shown yet. I would have been perfectly contented if they said, hey, Donkey Kong, we're working on it. Here's the Donkey Kong logo. You've all seen it. But yeah, that's it. Bye. That would have been fine. Like an MCU, like, oh, this movie's coming 5 years down the line. Here's a mock-up logo. And then the crowd goes wild.
Like a Metroid Prime 4.
Yes. Look, honestly, you know, I would have been satisfied with the Metroid Prime 4. Like, you might get this in 5 years, but who the fuck knows, kind of thing. But, you know, we didn't get that. And that's not the way they want to roll this out. So that's fine. I didn't think it would be at E3 at the beginning of the year. I honestly only allowed myself to really get excited about the possibility, you know, over this last weekend, quite frankly. And then this morning when the leaker... Okay, so... Hold on. I typed their name and somehow my autocorrect switched to vegetable matter. And I don't know how that happened. All right. The leaker vegetable
that's
matter.
One of my favorite sitcoms.
Yeah.
Veg diesel.
So we'll just call them vegetable matter, because I'm not in the mood to shame anybody. Vegetable matter hinted it was coming this morning, and so everybody was like, ah, Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong. Also said Master Chief was going to be the Smash reveal.
Yeah. If you say Master Chief will be the Smash reveal, that's not called hinting, Heil. That's not what the word hinting means. Yeah. That's called telling and being wrong. And he was wrong, which is also bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. A hint would be, it's going to be that guy from Halo.
They said, pay attention to another Microsoft character. That's a hint.
A green one.
He says, yeah, you know, yeah. This one might be green.
But this leaker was one of those people who supposedly leaked all of the base Smash characters, sans K. Rool. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, people had a lot of stock in this. For a few hours this morning, everybody was thinking it's a done deal. Donkey Kong is going to be shown at this Direct.
So I've been cataloging everything that Vegetable Matter has said about Smash Ultimate. And so here's like I'm already seeing some you know animosity towards him in the chat, and I'm like, yeah, don't leak things, you know. But you know, if it's out there, I'm probably going to pay attention. He has not gotten anything wrong. He's gotten timing wrong.
Yeah.
He didn't get K. Rool wrong. He did not get K. Rool wrong. He failed to get it. He failed to say it. But he has gotten literally nothing wrong. Gibbon's telling me he has in the chat, and I don't. I don't believe Gibbon because I don't know. I've been spending a lot of time on this. Vergeben has, you know, like one of the things that they kept saying, like one of the major crises of confidence from Vergeben was that it had gotten out that Vergeben said there was going to be no Donkey Kong character or no new Donkey Kong character, at least in the base game. And then, of course, there was K. Rool. But that was actually not a real thing that person said. It was spread about him that he said that and he didn't. There was the thing that for a long time it was considered wrong that he predicted Minecraft, but like y'all, we got Minecraft.
We're devoting a lot of time to this leaker that wasn't right today. But what I'll say about
timing is my thing.
That's fine.
Timing. So I'm saying, hey, we might get Master Chief. That's now I'm thinking that is likely the last character.
What I'm going to say is this. Is that if you have a leak and you want to leak it, we can get into an ethical debate about whether you should at all leak things, but I'm not going to do that. I will say that, what, like 8 hours before the thing is supposed to just happen?
Yeah.
That is when you should just shut your damn mouth. Nobody needs to be spoiled. Nobody needs the information leaked literally just hours before they can watch it live. You're just fucking with the people who make the stuff and ruining their reveal. And probably ought to be, you know, killed by the government. But, you know, we don't have that kind of government. But not yet. Anyway, I'm not a huge not fan yet. Of Vergeben, but...
Jeff, stop with the leaks!
I mean,
that's where things are going under Biden, am I right?
God, can't stand that guy. He's so sleepy.
He's so sleepy. He's going to kill us all.
Not to get political here, but look, I'm disappointed. I am. But here's the thing. I'm only disappointed because everybody's disappointed. Like, you know, and after enduring a couple of hours of some hate mail. And so that probably brought me down too, if I'm honest, because I'm human. I've got feelings. And, you know, I shrug it off, whatever. It comes with the territory of being, even in the most niche public view, you know, you're gonna get backlash. And, you know, I have been one of the biggest proponents for this Donkey Kong EPD story, just based on what my sources have told me. So, and from what I've heard. And elsewhere. So, you know, I understand people want a scapegoat. People want an outlet for their immediate anger. And me and people like the Kremlin campaigners on Twitter, you know, we're an easy available outlet. Because even though, you know, I wasn't saying it was going to be at E3, I know other outlets have then spun what I've said and twisted it around and, you know... said that I said it, so I get that people are angry, but look, we're gonna get this game, or at the very least, it's in the works, and they've got big plans.
Or at the very least, at one point, it was in the works.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard anything about it for over a year, but the thing is, we know they've got big plans for Donkey Kong. And on a day when a 2D Metroid game is basically revived from the dead, you from really think Dread. They're gonna, yeah, from, yeah, Dread Kong. Oh man, could you imagine if we got that drumming game? But I think that they've obviously got big plans for Donkey Kong. They're not going to let Donkey Kong die. I've seen so many people today say Donkey Kong is dead. I'm like, all right, that's dramatic. That you know, I hate to keep bringing this up because I don't want this to be my only source of like public evidence for all of this. You don't have a multi-million dollar theme park expansion for a series that's dead. You just don't. You know, I don't know. I'm tired. I'm honestly glad that the direct is over. I'm glad that one way or another it's in the past, because the anxiety leading up to it, the fear about this very scenario happening, was becoming a bit much. And now we're past it and we can move on. We can rebuild ourselves mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And we can just wait patiently like we're supposed to.
Well, Heil, I've been listening to the conversation lately. And, you know, it's been a pretty exciting time for those guys. And what I have to commend you on is that, like, you've said the same thing the whole time, which is that you think that there is a Donkey Kong game in development. And every time the idea of, like, when is it going to be revealed? Is it going to be revealed now? You've said something to the effect of, well, the timing would make sense, but I have no idea about that. Which is, you know, like, you can only say the thing that you think so much, you know? I think you did a great job in trying to, you know, try to taper expectations. I didn't. I said I predicted it would be now because I don't know. I just got a feeling.
And you're the one who got my hopes up, Mitchell.
Because if you're wrong, Mitchell, you're not getting hate mail if it doesn't show up. I mean, I messaged Kyle this morning and I told him you need to accept that Donkey Kong is dead.
Yeah. Even if there is a new Donkey Kong Country, it's going to be some other Kong, because Donkey Kong is dead.
Yeah, they killed Mario at the end of March, and now Donkey Kong? I mean, where's Nintendo's bloodlust going to end?
We're going to talk a lot about all the Nintendo characters that died today, but that's coming later.
Not Kirby. I think, by and large, I want to say, like, I don't want to be, like, hysterical myself. I don't want to come across as like, oh, woe is me, I'm such a martyr. The community as a whole has been amazing today, and I'm very proud of everyone. I've seen disappointment, but mostly collective optimism, resilience. Oh well, we'll get them next time. It's like, yeah, champ, you will, as I rustle their hair. It's nice to see, you know, it honestly, haters aside, and look, 20 years ago, I'm sure I would have been one of those people who would have been setting myself on fire, over the lack of Donkey Kong news, you know, because I was but a wee lad once, and I too succumbed to great expectations. But you know, you mature, you learn how to handle this. That's the reason I did that whole preamble about my history with E3 and disappointment, because, you know, how many E3s have been disappointing? We're never going to do a conversation retrospective about E3 2021 like we do 2001, but you know, that makes the good E3s even sweeter.
Yeah.
And before we start getting into some of the specifics, because I think it's time for that. But before we do that, I want to say right out the gate here, the 40th anniversary of Donkey Kong never had anything to do with the game that they're making about Donkey Kong.
No, I mean, we don't know that.
We know that they have had this thing gestating for a long time, And there's no reason to believe that it was planned or timed around the 40th anniversary. And everyone thinking like, oh, it has to be this year because it's the 40th anniversary. This is one of the years that is a multiple of five. And then if it doesn't get announced by July, because that's when the real anniversary happens, then it must not be. That's not real stuff. That's stupid stuff. So don't think stupid stuff. You're allowed to stop doing that. The year that ends in a multiple of five could sometimes means things, and at other times doesn't mean anything.
Yeah,
that's the point.
As we saw today, even their plans for Zelda's 35th are rather muted in comparison to Mario. So it's, you know, it would be
but
great.
We're not Super Monkey Ball.
We're not, no.
We're not Super Monkey Ball. We don't celebrate anniversaries.
Yeah.
That's the difference between us and them.
You know,
they celebrate anniversaries and we don't.
Their primate is in a ball, and he has birthdays.
Nice save, Jeff, because you called him an ape at first, and I was going to correct you, but then you...
No, I would never make you correct me, Heil. That's not my style.
On the conversation, we don't make that mistake. I don't even like to call donkey a monk, or, you know, M-O-N-K-E, like monkey, whatever the meme-y term is. I'm like, nah, he's a gorilla. Anyway, look, even Takahashi and Koizumi said at the very end, you know, we are diligently continuing development on a number of other games we didn't show today. And I feel like that was their way of saying, calm the fuck down, everyone. We know, like, wasn't necessarily directed just to Donkey Kong fans, but we were included in that, like at least 10%.
Yeah, well,
we are coming out of a once in a century pandemic, and we're still very much in the grips of it. I mean, I'm speaking as a very privileged person who has had both of his shots, shoddy shots in the arm. A lot of people haven't.
I've got six.
Jeff, save some for the rest of them.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay, so. In the lead up to E3, there were, you know, the normal rumors and leaky feelings that were coming around from everywhere, you know, as happens every year, right? And you can sort of get a sense for which things you should be paying attention to and which ones you shouldn't, even though there's always a percentage chance that it's right or a percentage chance that it's wrong rather than guaranteed. But you know, the hubbub about a 2D Metroid got louder and louder and louder. Mm-hmm. And the hubbub about WarioWare weirdly got louder and louder, but so did Kirby and Donkey Kong. And in retrospect, when you're thinking about where the rumors like those would come from, there's a lot more people working on the actual development and production of games than on the development of the direct itself. So if you got someone leaking a direct as like on the itinerary of what would happen in a direct, that's almost definitely false because there's a very small group of people.
Right.
It's easier to keep that secret. But, you know, those games, it's easier for things to get out a little bit. So as we were going through this direct and we kept seeing things that like, I didn't know exactly how it would turn out, what it would look like, what it would be, but like, hey, 2D Metroid, I remember seeing that in the rumor mill. Hey, WarioWare, I remember talking about that. Hey, Mario Party, I remember talking about that. And like all of these things, just like things that were in the rumor mill, and then now remembering, hey, you know, Donkey Kong and Kirby were there from sources that seemed pretty solid, so... Now I'm thinking, like, okay, well, they just mentioned that there's games they are working on that they aren't showing us on purpose. So that's now where I'm thinking Kirby and Donkey Kong are. And that's fine. It's a bit annoying for sure that we didn't see it. But, you know, I think it's no less likely to exist now.
Yeah, I think that if you look at kind of The thing about a video game company or a development team is that what they do for a living is make games. Right? So when they haven't had a new Kirby game in X number of years, you have to kind of think that they are making a Kirby game or another game, because that their job is to make the games all the time. And I think the same thing goes for the team behind Mario Kart and ARMS. I think there's like a rumor mill stuff about Mario Kart 9, and I don't know if that comes from any privileged information or if it just comes from the logic that this team hasn't released a game in a while and all they do for a living is make video games. So logic dictates they have something coming. The Donkey Kong one is a little less like based on that logic, because we don't know that there was a Donkey Kong team before this. So it's more like that's actually coming from privileged information and not just logic, you know. But I think that a Kirby game is being made, and I think something from the Mario Kart team, and I think that Donkey Kong, and I think that all of them are just probably, you know, a little bit slowed down with the state of development over the past 18 months.
Well, and especially something like Donkey Kong, where, you know, there if this is a new game being developed by a new, like, by a studio that has not developed a Donkey Kong game before, you know, they're building it from scratch. So there's no sequel framework to hang it on. So, yeah, it's not surprising, all things considered.
Yeah, they have to raise an entire new gorilla.
Because they killed him.
Yeah, it's so hard to fit a gorilla in a computer, y'all. Like, it is ridiculous. The fact that there are as many Donkey Kong games as there are, when they have to put a whole new gorilla in the computer every time, is just staggering.
Okay, but you know what I mean. Yeah, you sarcastic sarcasm givers. You know, you like it's Breath of the Wild 2. They've got an existing framework. All right, but let's be honest. Let's be honest with each other. And I know we're all proud, but how many of us momentarily flinched and sat up in our chairs when they had that Super Monkey Ball screen up with the bananas that said, a blood series rolls into its somethingth anniversary this year. Said 20th, but you know, when your brain is processing information.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Monkey Ball, so that was like, you know, I didn't assume that this was going to kill the announcement of a potential Donkey Kong thing I could see, so I wasn't like mad at it. But yeah, I you know, that definitely looked like Donkey Kong.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you look at it closely and you remember that the Monkey Ball game was announced like a day before, then, you know, you quickly figured it out. And then you saw the 20th and you're like, what Donkey Kong game came out 20 years ago? But, you know, for a split second, again, you're going to naturally just jump to the conclusion. Although I don't think they would have announced a new Donkey Kong game in those like Nintendo headline segments. It would have been directly launched by Koizumi, right? You know, also because Koizumi. Right.
Yeah,
was
I mean
there.
that momentary shock of the bananas and the word anniversary, and I didn't read any leaks. I remained leak free, so I didn't even think about Monkey Ball. But like, even the word the number 20th. Once my brain registered that wasn't the 40th, I was like, wait, like what came out 20 years ago? And my brain immediately was Donkey Kong Country Returns was 20 years ago. And then I was like, wait, no. Sometimes it feels like it.
I mean, as someone said somewhere today, and I apologize, I can't remember because I've been reading a lot of messages, both lovely and hate-filled. Somebody said, you know, when Donkey Kong Country Returns was announced, there is as much time between it and Donkey Kong 64 as there is what is between Donkey Kong Country Returns and now. So put that into perspective. But
that's like, you know, the time between us and the T-Rex, is the time between the T-Rex and the Stegosaurus. It's like a, you know, in terms of geological time,
yeah,
it's like a fun little factoid, but it, I mean, I don't know if it means anything.
I mean, I'm not saying it means anything. I'm just trying to make us all feel old and, you know, hovering over the grave.
So the, yeah, the time difference between Donkey Kong 3 and Donkey Kong Country and or the other, the Game Boy Advance game, or sorry, Game Boy original game just called Donkey Kong, was 1983 to 1994. So that's an 11-year gap, and that's absolutely the longest one that we've had. So in terms of the Donkey Kong series, and another 11-year gap, like how far away from it are we in terms of announcements? Only 3 years. So, I you know, if they don't get their shit together, I could easily see this becoming the longest gap in Donkey Kong games ever. And the fact that Nintendo's first video game that broke into the mainstream in the way that it did was Donkey Kong will never go away. You know, we're always talking about it as a return to the Rare era of Donkey Kong, because that's when we perceive the quality to be the highest. And I agree with that. But just from Nintendo's point of view, that's their first thing ever. You know, that's their game. They're not going to let it last that long. I really don't think they will. We're just on a timing sort of way. We have to be hurtling toward a new Donkey Kong.
And even if it wasn't, if nothing else, I'm sure they're going to bring in Greg Mayles to reboot it as his new creative director. So, nah, that's a joke based on other news.
Reboot camp.
Yeah, we'll talk about that on our E3 wrap up. A little news about what's happening over at Rare. But the last thing I'll say about Donkey Kong as a singular entity, as a game, and this direct and what came after is, if anybody watched the Nintendo Treehouse Live, you know, it's a little bit different this year because they're not doing it at the LA Convention Center as they have in past years. So they have these little, like, we'll be right back messages as they, you know, bring in somebody else digitally to talk to. And the we'll be right back message was the treehouse logo, which of course is modeled after the Donkey Kong Country treehouse. That's where they got the name, the treehouse, because they tested Donkey Kong Country back in 94 there, and they named it the treehouse. But it was a little title card of Donkey Kong's treehouse in the Congo jungle, in just this, like, very stylistic red and white, almost Virtual Boy-esque. And it just said, we'll be right back, in a word bubble coming out of the treehouse. And I was just like, ah, they're just taunting me. They're just taunting all of us with this Donkey Kong imagery. So, I did appreciate it, but
the treehouse name and logo has been Donkey Kong's treehouse for a long time, but this was the first time that they did anything with it that felt more like, hey, no, remember this? I'm like, well, yeah, man, I do. do you want to talk about it or no? Okay.
Sean in the live stream chat says that he realized that DK's treehouse in Donkey Kong Country isn't really a treehouse because it's on a mountain. So the name doesn't make sense. But I would say to that, that is a mountain, not simply a tree of the rock kingdom.
And is a house not made out of tree?
Boom.
Oh my god. No, it's a cave house.
It's not a brick house.
It's a cave, but you can't call it a cave house because then that implies a cave inside of a house, not a house that sits atop a cave. So it's a tree house. Look.
It's a tree house.
Ah, great. Now I'm going to get hit with a takedown from Twitch because, you know, Jeff.
And people. Sorry. I'm sorry, Heil. I'm sorry. The people in the chat have been pretty mad at me because I kind of said this direct was just fine. I never even said it was bad. But I
you
will
said
say
it was
that
not
never.
Here's
yeah, but I
that.
Said it wasn't bad. And also, who's the judge of what I said? Listen. I will say right now that they never played a song by the dad rock band Steely Dan.
That's true.
And that automatically brought it down about a notch and a half.
Yeah, but they also didn't play a Weezer song, so it sort of evened out.
Oh, it saved it. Yeah, thank God they didn't play Weezer. Let me say this. Let me bring everybody together because I can feel tensions rising, and I want to protect my friend Jeff, but I also want to preserve my audience at the same time. So
this is wild. No one's mad at Jeff. I'm reading the chat too.
Everybody hates Jeff. I realize that.
Everybody hates me.
You know, it's perfectly fine to be disappointed with this Nintendo Direct. Nobody's saying you have to love it. But it's also fine to really love what was seen at this Nintendo Direct because we all have different tastes. We all like different things. Not, you know, we're not all going to win every time. That would be ludicrous. The only way that could have happened is if we got the Donkey Kong game, and then everybody here listening to the conversation would probably be pretty happy right now. But since we didn't, we're going to have divided opinions. But that's fine. That's fine. I'm happy for the Metroid fans right now. Legitimately, I am so happy for them. Because you know what? The whole should have been Metroid 2003 beef wars that we had. I don't want to ever go back to that. That was bullshit. That was just petty childishness, whatever. I don't know how to speak. I'm drunk. But it was just, and it spilled out to the mainstream gaming media. Hey, Kotaku, fuck you. I'm still not going to be over that, but that's fine. But Donkey Kong fans don't hate Metroid fans, and Metroid fans shouldn't hate Donkey Kong fans. We're all in this together. And Metroid got a game that they didn't think they were ever going to get again. Like, this is a huge deal for them. As Mitchell said, this would be us getting Donkey Kong Racing, and I would hope the Metroid fans would be happy for us there. And I'm going to be happy for them for getting Metroid Dread. So, you know, this is not the day the Donkey Kong fans wanted to have, but we've got great things coming. Like, I just, rest assured, Nintendo has big plans for Donkey Kong, and it's going to be a good time to be had by all of us. So we just have to be a little bit more patient, a little bit more understanding. And in the meantime, look, we are going to have fun. The Donkey Kong community knows how to bide its time and have fun. And we're going to do that. And we've got lots of stuff to discuss and talk about and play and be nostalgic over. And yes, when the appropriate time comes, speculate towards the future. I'm done talking about this Donkey Kong game because I've already shared all the information I legitimately have been given. And anything more would be irresponsible speculation on my part and just, you know, getting people worked up again. And I don't want to do that. I'm done. I'm done with this. Until I get more information, I'm done with it. But,
Heil, you talk about how we know that there's a lot to look forward to in the future. And obviously that is just right here on the album art, on the thumbnail image here for our episode, because what's it called? Mario.
Mario.
There's a Mario game coming.
Oh, yeah.
Super Mario Board.
Mario Party Starshine. What is it? Superstars. Mario Party Superstars. Sparks of Hope. Coming October 29th. So happy fucking Halloween to the both of you. I know this is what you wanted in your little plastic pumpkin. And you're going to get it. You trick or treat.
Why are you so mean?
Yeah. Kyle, you can't fit almost any candy in a plastic pumpkin. I have a goddamn pillowcase. I want a lot of candy.
Yeah, but your pillowcase has sweat stains on it, Jeff. And that's just...
Kyle, that's not sweat.
That's loose. That's loose Juicy Drop Pops. Remember those?
Oh, man. Juicy Drop Pops. Let's... You know, that's nostalgic. When are we getting the 40th anniversary of those?
Yeah, you remember how they designed it so you would take out a dropper and then drop it on a weird, like, cylindrical piece of plastic, and then they're like, lick the plastic.
Mitchell, that's LSD. What are you talking about?
Hey, yeah, and they would always be like, don't eat this candy in a weird mood. Like, yeah, I remember. Remember the 70s?
You always had to have one friend who wasn't eating Juicy Drop Pop.
Remember when
just to watch everybody?
Remember when we all listened to Steely Dan and just drop Lucy drop pops.
Lucy and the drop pop with diamonds.
Okay, okay, we're cracking up now. Hey, Mario Party Superstars. So this was a prediction we got right on our E3 2021 preview.
Did you? I listened to it, and I think you specifically said, I don't see any reason why they would make another Mario Party.
Hey, and I still don't see any reason, but we talked about
it. And then you said it would be DLC.
Okay, so I've got some theories, Jeff, if you want to hear them. And I know I just said I was done with the theories, but this isn't about Donkey Kong, the game. This is about Mario Party Superstars, the game.
Okay.
All right. So
Is the theory anything other than it's a completely different style of gameplay, so it wouldn't be the same game? Because if so, I don't know if I buy it.
Say what now?
This new Mario Party is like a completely different style of game than Super Mario Party, so it wouldn't be DLC.
Yeah, that's the big thing, is that the Super Mario Party game that they already have is kind of not that well-liked because of how it's different from the old Mario Parties, because you don't follow a grid in the same way, and everything about it is different.
That's
fine, Heil. You can like things that are fine.
People actually do like Super Mario Party, but
it's a good game that's light on content. That's all I'll say about it.
It does a lot of good stuff that a lot of the other Mario Parties don't, but it's light on content, and it has some problematic things that were solved in previous Mario Parties. The commonly agreed upon best Mario Party games are 2 and 3 on the Nintendo 64. So the fact that this game is taking the N64 style of gameplay and the N64 boards and remixing over 100 mini games from just the entire season, or not season, series of Mario Party games, does feel like actually a kind of substantial, if you're into Mario Party, this is a pretty substantial thing. And it's launching with the online play, which was a huge problem with Super Mario Party. Didn't launch with online play.
Yeah.
At least for the main board game mode.
I mean, this feels to me like a loosely applied greatest hits of Mario Party to the past, but obviously with more structure, traditional structure to it than Mario Party, the top 100 back in 2017.
Yeah, I think for my taste, I can get down with a Mario Party. Not all the time, but every once in a blue moon. And for my taste, I actually would have loved if some of the new design ideas that they came up with in Super Mario Party, like how every character had a unique dice block that actually added a not insignificant layer of strategy, because you would choose which dice block to use, and as you would go around the board, you would pick up allies, and then, so, like, as the game went on, some players would end up with more options of dice blocks to add, like, more strategic decision choosery to their experience, and I thought that was cool. That's not showing up. This is really a strictly traditional Mario Party in this one.
Can I just say, because the chat was already mad at me, so I might as well make them mad again. This is cool. This is fine. But a new Mario Party game is never going to be like big news. Oh, and then on top of that it is remade content.
Yeah.
Right. So everyone is freaking out. Like, this is, you know, the second coming of shit. And that's cool. If you love the old content and you want to see it again, that's great. But it's the same thing with Advance Wars. Can we acknowledge this is remade content? It's not something necessarily put in a headline.
I sort of agree, Jeff, but here's the... So I was wondering earlier if this, like, the nature of this was at some point planned DLC for Super Mario Party that got expanded into its own game. Like, maybe we wouldn't have gotten as much of this until they decided, let's just make it its own game because it doesn't really fit. Because it's weird that we're only getting, like, 5 boards from the first 3 Mario Parties. It just seems a little skimpy. I don't know. Like, we've gotten...
Yeah, they don't even have to think up the boards. The boards already are made. You don't even have to think them. So why do you only have 5?
So, well, and we've only got, like, we've gotten Peach's Birthday Cake from Mario Party and Spaceland from Mario Party 2. So it's like, I mean, All right. And I know people like Peach's Birthday Cake and they like Spaceland. And of course, I'm biased because I want DK's Jungle Adventure and we're probably not going to get that. Whatever. I'm not bitter about this, too. I can only be bitter about so many things today. But
well, I think when repackaged, remade content, you know, remasters, ports, whatever, what have you, are put out and they're specifically of the thing the community likes about the series and is away from problems that the series has been dealing with, that sort of sends the message that someone is listening. It, you know, and that might be true. Maybe someone is listening to the Mario Party fandom about, you know, what they like about Mario Party, why having everyone in the car was bad, because Super was sort of a reaction to that. And then now, like, why some of the stuff in Super was bad, because this seems like a reaction to that. It does seem like Nintendo's learning, at least in that one specific regard.
I mean, they're learning lots of ways. K. Rool, like, look at K. Rool. Sure. They listened. They listened.
That's at least two games. I'm just saying that, you know, this isn't just a new way to play old things. I think it also signifies a meaningful attention being paid to people that have, you know, sunk their time and emotional energy into the game series. And that's why, like, I do agree with you, Jeff, that this is just not going to be that big of a deal, this Mario Party, even if it's a really good one. Comparison to the other Mario Parties. I don't really think I agree on Advance Wars. I think the fact that any money is being pumped into Advance Wars rather than just, you know, porting the Game Boy Advance games as they were, it sort of means like, hey, you know, we're testing the waters here. If you like Advance Wars, let's see if you like Advance Wars in this way.
If I could just respond to that, I want to clarify, like, I'm not
trying to.
This
feel like a presidential debate. I don't know. Okay. I feel like I'm watching Mitchell and Jeff go at it to see who will be the next president.
I don't know. Because I Who's agree with everything though? Mitchell's. Because in the most part, I agree with everything he said. And I think in a partial or somewhat part, he agrees with what I said. And neither one of us are sleepy. But, you know, I'll say I'm not trying to fart on anybody's baby brother. And I think that what I'm saying is none of this stuff is insignificant. It's not stuff that you shouldn't be excited about. And if you are excited about it, that's awesome for you. I just think on the whole, this is a collection of like medium cool things. And I'm trying to temper down where I'm seeing everybody saying this was like a top tier direct. And I'm thinking to myself like, man, am I just out of it,
or
is that a remake? Am I crazy, or is this a remake of old content, or is this you know, a Mario Party game, or is this, you know, and these are cool things, or is like, am I crazy, or is a WarioWare game just kind of cool? It's not
You're crazy. You're crazy. I changed my mind. You became crazy.
WarioWare is medium good. Amazing.
WarioWare is one of the best Nintendo franchises, and it's undersung constantly.
You can both be right, because it's all subjective.
Yeah, but someone's right. When you die and you go to the afterlife, there's an angel with a book. And that book has the true answer to everyone's...
I am going to fart on that angel. I will fart on that angel.
All right, now, hey, listen, can I just say my piece, because I've been watching you two go at it like an old married couple, and while it's very hot and I enjoyed it, I want to get my piece in now. Hey, so I want to say, first of all, that while I agree with Jeff that this is just recycled content, which made me think maybe this is a stopgap release, like, hey, the pandemic really, really screwed things up. We need to get product out. Let's just take old Mario Party concepts and give them a fresh coat of paint. Whatever. But the game does look gorgeous for a Mario Party. I mean, I was looking at some of the videos today, some of the screenshots, and I was like, yowza, I've never seen water in a Mario Party game look like that. That's
Bowser. Look at that.
Shy Guy says that looked pretty nice. I have to say, I mean, it's nice to see that the these ancillary Mario games are making the minimum effort when it comes to visuals now, rather than just having the disgusting pastel plasticky sheen that they had for so many years. So, you know, that's cool. And there is some effort behind this. It isn't just a lazy cash grab, but it's hard for me to get excited as somebody who played those first three Mario Party games to death and quite honestly would be happy never to touch them again. But hey, if there are Mario Party fanatics out there who want to revisit Peach's Birthday Cake, then, you know, there's clearly a market for this. So even though, like, I'm just like, oh, this is just the classic DK Vine E3 because all we got was a Mario Party from Nintendo. You know, there are, like, I that's something I've discovered in the last decade running DK Vine's Facebook page, is people love Mario Party content. Whenever I run a Mario Party screenshot, people are like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, well.
Yeah.
Do you want to do the, you know, Nintendo discussion thing where we speculate on the three other boards? I feel like that's the thing to do.
Because I feel like I'm going to upset people, because then they're going to say, Heil from DK Vine said for sure that Horrorland was coming.
Horrorland would be cool, though.
Well, before we do that, can I just say, yes, Donkey Kong is in it. And yes, yeah. His ass was everywhere in this trailer. And the big takeaway from it for Donkey Kong fans was that on Peach's Birthday Cake, there is a big... There are cake toppers, or maybe, like, what are those, like, somewhat edible cake designs? What are they made out of?
Smaller cakes?
No, it's like the...
I know fondant, what you're talking about.
Fondant, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But there's one of Donkey Kong, and his ass, it looks like that meme from the cartoon, yeah, where his ass cheeks are on the dock.
You're allowed to slap it once.
Spank it or something, yeah. Touch it, yeah, I don't once. Know. Fondle it, but yeah, his ass cheeks.
Spank it right in the middle, right?
Yeah, you only have one shot.
You can stick
it right in the middle, spank.
You can stick your finger in it so long as you lubricate it. Hey.
You lose the right, middle Kyle. Spank.
But his ass is out of control in that, and it's just like, yeah, Nintendo knows what they're doing. Somebody knows what
also,
they're doing.
Birdo's playable. That's, you know, Mario spinoffs lately have had a pretty good run of just like one weird character that they include. The golf one is Charge and Chuck.
Yeah.
And the tennis aces had Chain Chomp, which was a weird and fun inclusion. And then this one gets Birdo. So that's great.
Well, I don't know like Birdo's a weird one. Birdo's just been an underutilized.
Well,
character for
yeah,
a while.
Yeah, Birdo went out of vogue for a long time, and now Birdo is back, so.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I don't think Chain Chomp is that crazy either. I just, in the context of appearing as a playable character in a Mario spinoff, it doesn't happen very often. But yeah, I like Birdo a lot,
but
so.
It looks like the online multiplayer theory, where the reason they added it to Super Mario Party was testing it out for this game. That probably holds up, right? That's a valid theory. Or they had it ready to go for this game, and they're like, why don't we just retroactively apply it to this older one?
Well, what Cameron was saying on the last episode was true, that the online functionality of Super Mario Party was added in time for another region's release. It was actually China, though. So the Chinese release of Super Mario Party happened at around the same time as that online update. And everyone was so confused about the online update because Chinese release dates are actually really hard to track down because they don't publicize them in the same way that they do in the rest of the world. But yeah, that's why it happened, because I assume that in China, without online functionality, just because of the way that games as a culture are over there, it was not going to sell very well.
So okay.
That's why they added it. And maybe it was like a test run for this game as well. Two birds, one stone situation. Two birdos, one stone. Is that funny?
Hey.
I'm laughing.
Don't put all your birdos in one. Don't put all your birdos in one pumpkin basket.
Okay, that's a few things at once.
Do you want to speculate on the other boards? Because I really don't care. But if people care, I want to speculate on them.
Well, you said Horrorland sort of dismissively, but I like that. that sounds cool. I like Horrorland.
I'm more of a fan of Mysteryland because I like the weird, like, ancient aliens meets, like, cryptozoology like vibe of that world. But that's just me.
What about Gainesville?
What about Gainesville?
It could be like Gainesville, Florida. Could be a board.
I really liked in Mario Party 3, which is my favorite Mario Party. I liked Chilly Waters, which was the ice world. I would like to see that one. But you know, I think every one of the N64 Mario parties had more than five boards. They're being weird about boards. I want more boards.
Well, it's like I always say, a once-in-a-century pandemic will definitely reduce the number of boards you can put in a game.
Have you guys tried to buy lumber lately?
Lumber is fucking crazy. You probably don't even know, because why would you buy lumber? But
no, I was aware of this.
Yeah, any listener who knows will be like, yeah, dude, lumber's crazy.
No, look, I was trying to build Wario's Battlefield the other day, and I went to Lowe's to buy some lumber to build Wario's Battlefield, and they said, the lumber costs this much? And I was like, well, I guess I'm not building this board now.
So, two things. One, I see G-Mancer in the chat, who is a known Mario Party enthusiast. I would like to forward the question of which boards would be best to him. And also, Heil, on the last episode of the... Or not the last episode, but the E3 preview, when you were talking to Cameron and Gibbon, you told them that the nightmare scenario would be not seeing a Donkey Kong mainline game, but seeing the rhythm game, like a bongo game.
Yeah.
Was that the nightmare situation, or are you living a different nightmare situation?
No, right that now? Would be the nightmare situation, because that would make people think the EPD game doesn't exist at all, and they think that this is just, like, we're just re-entering the Donkey Konga era. And so, like, and I would have been fine with if that drum rumor turned out to be true. But, of course, Bandai Namco just showed one game during their presentation, and it wasn't Donkey Kong crossing over with the drum game. So, you know, whatever, it's a moot point, just a rumor. But I would have been fine with it if we all
got that. Wasn't even a rumor, right? It was just a guy on Reddit.
Yeah, but that's how rumors just start these days, Jeff. If that was real, and we got that in conjunction with the other Donkey Kong game, then great. That would have been great. But if we just got that rumored drum game and nothing else, then people would have really, I think, become weird. And I don't want people to get too weird. So
you don't want people to come weird, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah, that's like when I started antidepressants. Whoa.
Well, in any case, I'm glad that you're not in that nightmare situation, and I have no idea if that game is real or not. I don't know what to think. I would assume no, because again, it's just like a guy. He didn't even have a track record, right? It's just a person. Just a person.
Anybody can say anything these days.
Horrorland. See?
Oh, okay. And we missed this earlier. Glad to have you on the show, G-Man. Woody Woods from Party 3 was revealed. That's true, because it had the image had Woody Woods, but we never saw gameplay on it. So now we do know three of them.
Well, Woody was also a character in Mario Party 2, so I didn't know if maybe Woody is like keeping the mini games in check outside. Maybe it is just Woody Woods. I don't know. But, you know, Woody was the main tree character from Mario Party 2, along mm-hmm. with our friend 1 versus 3 minigame tree and their ilk. So Cameron had a great joke in the DK Vine Inner Circle. Wasn't so much a joke as more of a commentary. But
that's we do on the conversation.
It made me laugh. It's like, you know, it this is just, and I'm paraphrasing because I'm not going to pull up the brilliant Cameron quote because I'm lazy and I'm pretty drunk right now. It was something like, it's just like a DK Vine E3 to go in expecting to see, you know, Radley and N'Gard, and instead getting Woody from Mario Party. Yeah. I mean, we got Woody. We got Woody.
And G-Man cool. also said that it would be cool to see Horrorland because it's cool and big.
Cool and big.
Cool. Yeah, so you heard it. G-Man predicts Horrorland, so please run that news sites. So anyway, that's Mario Party Superstars coming October 29th. So that'll be our big Halloween episode of The Conversation. We got a little bit of news from Mario Golf Super Rush, which is coming much sooner. It's coming just in a week or two. We got, as I said we would, we got confirmation that further free DLC characters are coming. So in my mind, that is basically a lock for Diddy. Diddy's coming. This is Camelot. Camelot loves Diddy. Diddy loves Camelot. It's going to be Diddy, just like it was in Mario Tennis Aces.
I will also point out that in that same sentence, when they talked about the free stuff coming, they showed off a new course in New Donk City. There weren't any visible Donkey Kong references in that what we saw, it's very possible that because it's New Donk City, that we could get some references to Donkey Kong or Donkey Kong characters.
Sure. And I wouldn't be surprised if we got, a course set on Donkey Kong Island, because Camelot usually provides that, or at least they have since Toadstool Tour. So, you know, maybe not. Maybe New Donk City will be it, but it's very likely. So,
I would love to see just a new Donker, just someone in a hat. So maybe someone wearing Cappy. That'd be fun.
It would be great if, like, we saw that new Donker who I harassed at E3 2017 and made them read the most hilarious Donkey Kong jokes joke book with me.
My headcanon is that new Donker is the new Donker in Super Mario Odyssey that gives you the easiest moon in the game, which is just to sit next to them on the bench, and then they'll be like, oh, I didn't think anyone would... Wow, you're nice, and then give you a moon. That's maybe my favorite Mario character.
Because they're so broken after reading the most hilarious Donkey Kong jokes?
Yeah, they seem genuinely depressed in-universe, and that's the kind of Mario character I can get behind.
Yeah, there aren't enough chronically depressed Mario characters. I've always said that. So, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, we got one reveal today, and it was not Master Chief. It started the show as I thought it would. I figured they would just start with a Smash trailer, but unlike E3 2019, we didn't have the twofer where we got the Banjo-Kazooie reveal near the end. And for more on that, watch our reactions. And when I say our, I do mean me and Jeff and Mitchell and also Cameron. We recorded ourselves live when that went down and we all got giddy together. But Tekken is the latest franchise to join Super Smash Brothers officially. So what do I think about this?
Jeff's a Tekken person.
I've been kind of not necessarily like pushing for Heihachi, but like saying, you know, it would be cool to get Heihachi in there. And it's surprising to get a Tekken character that's not him, because oftentimes he is used as the mascot. That's if you're going to put a character from Tekken into something, usually go with Heihachi. But you know, I think we're in this era now of Smash Brothers where a lot of, you know, the biggest things that would really set people off are kind of already done. And not to say that there aren't still those out there, but there's also just, you're going to balance those out now with ones that are just kind of like, oh, okay, that's cool. All right. And I don't even know if I think Kazuya is even like on the level in terms of how cool do I think it is as something like Terry. I think Terry, it was a cooler, different thing. I'm curious how Kazuya is going to operate mechanically because of how different Tekken is from something like Street Fighter or
Mario didn't
Freudian fart. You know, mechanically Tekken doesn't play anything like Street Fighter or King of Fighters because of the way that the buttons are not they're not like the way that Street Fighter works. Every limb on the body is mapped to a different button in Tekken, and then there's just like hundreds of combinations for every character. And so then the question becomes, you know, how do you map that to Smash controls? How do you pare down that move set? Because you're not going to have hundreds of moves. How do you pare it down, but still make it feel like you're playing like Kazuya? And, you know, I'm curious how that's going to work. But just in terms of like, this is the way I look at it. Getting a new franchise into Smash Brothers is cool. Even if you're not psyched about Tekken specifically, it's cool that the umbrella that is Super Smash Bros. Ultimate now encompasses another franchise that is a big historic gaming franchise. And I think at this point, it's pretty clear that Sakurai really likes fighting games. So he's in there. But enough about all that. Let's talk about him killing people, right?
Yeah. I liked it. I liked how he did it.
You know, I love this tradition of all of these character trailers, all the wanton death and destruction. It's great to see. And also the running joke that Sakurai refuses to harm Kirby continued. And I think it's the most blatant example of it, where it was just like an end of trailer, fuck you, I'm not killing Kirby. I just love the way Sakurai trolls people at this point. It's become charming to me, where past it would have infuriated me.
In the context of this trailer, that was just too obvious a joke to go to.
Yeah.
That you're dropping people off a cliff and Kirby is just like it even if you're not Sakurai who made Kirby games, your brain goes there. You're just like, oh, I bet you couldn't drop Kirby off this cliff because he can jump a bunch. And they did it. And I said, ha ha, they did it.
Yeah. dropping people off cliffs and into volcanoes is a thing that's happened, I think, one or like up to three max times throughout the entirety of Tekken. And, you know, that's more than average.
It is more than one, for sure. It's more than one.
But I love the escalation of that in this trailer. Of like, this is just his character trait. This is the thing he does. There's no other way to define this character other than to make him bored of how many times he's dropping people off of a cliff. And I love that. I think that's great. At this point in Smash, after getting a majority of my most wanted characters, I can really only think about like which characters are best for Smash, and the idea of a Tekken character, because the Super Smash Brothers is made by the Tekken team specifically. That just feels right. It's their game. They should have one. It feels like Sakurai getting to put Kirby in it. But it's the Tekken team getting to put Tekken in it. I echo your sentiments, Jeff, though, about Kazuya being is it Kazuya or Kazuya? Or how do you do it?
Well, I don't pronounce anything correctly, so don't take my word for it.
He's the one who said Street Fighter, so...
Kazuya Mishima, right?
Kazuya Mishima is...
That sounds... But when you do it, it sounds right. The way I do it sounds wrong. Let's go with yours.
Okay, Kazuya Mishima, which is what you said. Correct me if I'm wrong. I really don't know almost anything about Tekken. But this seems like an example of a game where the main character of the game... Okay, someone just wrote the name again with spaces in it. Like, that doesn't help.
Sean says you're right. Sean says the first syllable gets the emphasis, so it's Kazuya. Not Kazu. Yeah, I do it wrong because I'm just a little wrong boy.
Okay, but it seems like one of the examples where the icon of the series and the main character of the series are very different things. This happens in Killer Instinct when I think the icon of the series is Fulgore. Like, that's the character that's used in most of the marketing and stuff, and that's the character that I associate mostly with Killer Instinct. But the main character of Killer Instinct is Jago. Or the... another one would be Mortal Kombat, where Scorpion and Sub-Zero feel like the icons of it, but there's a... Johnny Cage is, I guess, the main character.
Liu Kang.
Wait, what's Johnny Cage? What am I thinking
Johnny
of?
Johnny Cage is the Hollywood actor Jean-Claude Van Damme parody.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm
just glad I can know something that Mitchell didn't know.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
I did. You know, I'm not a very big person on traditional fighting games. I don't know that much. And this seems like you'd think at this point they would go for the icon because they've done that a couple times. But now, no, they're actually now going for what seems to be more of a main character.
Well, he's a villain too. So this is like interesting because straight up it's a villain character, but also kind of like basically so is Heihachi.
Is there it's any a weird person thing. That's good in Tekken?
There are people who are good, but they're not really like main characters or like I don't know. It's one of those things where you know not all game franchises have an obvious like main character, especially when they're an ensemble cast of fighters. And a big thing with Tekken is that like everybody's kind of not that good. I don't know. It's a complicated thing, but yeah. So he's like a villain. I guess it's neat that we're getting a character, like, it's the first character in a franchise for Smash, but it's also, like, a villain. They have not done that.
Yeah, I think it's kind of similar to how, not exactly, but the comparison I was going to bring up was ARMS. How Springman is the main character of ARMS by all intents and purposes, but we get Min Min, who seems to be this more popular character, the most popular character in ARMS. And
I'll say nobody expected, I don't think anybody expected Kazuya. I saw quite a lot of people over the years of just speculation thinking Heihachi just because that's the one you go to. And then that almost begs me to speculate on whether there is a reason, like a legal reason why not to put Heihachi, because Heihachi was included in PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, which was on the PlayStation 3. It was a Smash Brothers kind of knockoff starring PlayStation characters. And it was, I think, I could be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure it was said at the time that the character of Solid Snake could not be in that game because he was in Super Smash Brothers, and there was just something with the contract. Like, don't put him in there because you put him in here, and it might go both ways with Heihachi. You can't put him here because you put him in there. And kind of lines were drawn. Maybe that's just blind speculation. And maybe Sakurai just wanted to surprise people, or just maybe Sakurai just has a personal preference, because that happens. Sakurai just is like, I like this character. So yeah. We'll see.
All I'll add to this, because I really have no horse in this race, is that, you know, if this makes the most amount of people happy in the Tekken fandom, or in just in general, then great, because I've already gotten mine, And at this point, like, all these post-Banjo and Kazooie Smash reveals, I'm just like, oh, good for them. Good for them. But I'm, like, so detached at this point. And yeah, I would love Dixie. Yeah, I would love all these Donkey Kong characters that could have plausibly been in the game had they not spaced out the Donkey Kong characters so much between installments. I realize though, at this point, though, they're not big-name characters in comparison to these big non-Nintendo franchises getting in. So I'm just happy for other people, and I got my two, like, greatest case characters. Like, oh, what, like, the absolute, like, best case scenario would be K. Rool and Banjo and Kazooie, and I got them both in the same game. So I know I keep saying that, but it's true. So yeah, it's just like, good for them. I don't care personally. I can't be upset.
I wouldn't even necessarily put Kazuya or any Tekken rep really as being all that. Like, it's exciting if you like Tekken. And even if you don't like Tekken, you can say, oh, that's cool that Tekken is here now. But I don't think it's on the level even of something like, you know, getting Sephiroth or Minecraft Steve or Dragon Quest for sure. It's just kind of like we're at a stage of Smash where some of the characters they put in are just going to feel like, oh, and here's another one.
Well, it feels for the people on the that level really of, like, love it, Joker.
It'd be great.
It feels to me like, yeah, it's on the level of like Persona. Like, it has a fan base, yeah, that loves it, and it's not small at all by any means, but it, you know, it's not the big thing. But I still like it mostly because it's not a complete bullshit character, and also it represents the team that makes the game. I think that's great.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Here's a little chewy bit of food for thought. You want some food?
I don't like food.
Feed me, daddy.
No, here's the thing. I don't like food necessarily. There are foods I like to eat, but if I could just subside on a pill every day, I would take that.
God.
It's so hard to be friends with you. You you're just going out like, I don't like the concept of food. But okay. So here's the deal that I was going to bring up. Compare Fighter Pass 1 to Fighter Pass 2. You start with Joker, which is like sort of a more modern JRPG character. You've got Hero, which is a traditional JRPG character. You've got Banjo-Kazooie, which is a Microsoft character. You've got Terry, which is a fighting game character. And you got Byleth, which is a Nintendo character from like a recent game. And all five of those descriptions also apply to everyone announced so far in Fighter Pass Volume 2. Min Min like tracks to Byleth. Steve tracks to Banjo. Sephiroth tracks to Joker. Sephiroth tracks to Hero. Pyra and Mithra track to Joker. And now Kazuya tracks to Terry. So they've all, the theme for this fighter pass seems to have been, it's like the second shot of all of those like of all of those types of characters, you know. It's a second go around of each of those archetypes, which would mean that there's nothing else to map onto the sixth character, except that Piranha Plant exists. And I don't necessarily think that this next character is going to map onto Piranha Plant, but mainly the thing I was going to bring up was just like, it did seem to be that there was a theme among the Fighter Pass 2 so far. It's second things of whatever Fighter Pass 1 was. So I don't know if that's important. Just something I was thinking about.
I don't want to fart on your baby brother, but I don't necessarily agree with that pattern at all, really.
All right. Whatever.
I mean, I still like you, though.
Yeah, no, not my baby brother, I guess, but it's fine.
Yeah, I
mean,
know.
What? Like
Mitchell, I respect your analytical...
You spell like a real stretch.
I respect your analytical skills, Mitchell, really, I do. But also, like, people see Satan's face in clouds all the time. Doesn't mean Satan is behind it.
I get it. My baby brother sucks. It's fine. It's okay.
All right.
Well,
make him.
Hey, we have something else to discuss, and this was actually revealed all the way back on Saturday, but I thought we would save it. Thought we would table it because it didn't really fit in with the Xbox discussion in the last episode. Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope from Ubisoft Milan, Davide Soliani, and Grant Kirkhope is back doing the music. And
wait, Grant Kirkhope? Sparks of Hope? Grant Sparks Hope?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think?
I do.
I do.
I like your baby brother.
Yeah.
So, I have to give a shout out really quick to the Twitter user SullyBoyDraws. SullyBoy pointed out on Twitter, because I was listening to this trailer, because I was watching, Mitchell, you would be proud of me. I watched the Ubisoft Forward event. I sat down and I watched it. No, I did something that
I might barely watched that.
It might have had nothing to do with Donkey Kong or the Donkey Kong universe or Rare or Playtonic. I went outside. And now, Grant, I watched it because I was waiting for news on this already leaked Mario plus Rabbids game, because that morning it leaked by Nintendo's hand. Oopsie. But, I was watching it and I was just like, I'm watching the Ubisoft 4 and Mitchell will be proud of me. So I need validation from you. But on Twitter, at SullyBoyDraws pointed out that the music is very evocative of Banjo-Tooie's music. The dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, the twinkly music. You know what I'm talking about. You know. And so it's like, I have to give a shout out to SullyBoyDraws, because I was listening. I was like, I got to hear those Kirkhopian riffs, those motifs that Kirkhope sometimes uses. And I said that on Twitter, and I think I insulted Grant Kirkhope. So Grant, I didn't mean any like that you just reuse your material, but yeah, I was just looking for a little bit of a little Kirkhopian vibe there. And I didn't hear it, but Sully Boy Draws heard it, and it's very clear.
Yeah.
So
yeah, props. There were a couple of those in the first one too. So yeah. Like
when he did the DK Isles medley, and I was like, that sounds like Donkey Kong 64, Grant Kirkhope.
It sounds a little bit like Grant Kirkhope. I was more referring to the mid-boss theme, like when you fight the Piranha Plant Rabid in the first game, has the melody from the Versus Klungo theme from Tooie.
So we don't know.
Which
we don't know.
Also a mid-boss, so that makes sense.
We don't know if Donkey Kong is going to be in this. Obviously, Donkey Kong wasn't in the first one until we got the Donkey Kong Adventure DLC expansion. But I don't think he will be. I'm going to make a bold prediction. I know I said I was done with bold predictions besides Horror Land, but I don't think Donkey Kong is going to be in this one at all. I think if they do DLC, it will be a completely different sort of character. But I think they're done with Donkey Kong in this series. But this takes its cues.
You finally accepted that Donkey Kong is dead.
You know what? Yeah, I buried him, Jeff. I've got the dirt still under my fingers. My fingernails are dirty from burying Donkey Kong, and I'm quite emotional about it. No, this game, rather than just being a general pastiche of Mario and then a general pastiche of Donkey Kong Country, Donkey Kong 64, this game takes its cues from the two Super Mario Galaxy games and then some. And then adds quite a bit of new stuff at that. And it's a spacefaring adventure. And we got Rabid Rosalina and Rabid Lumas. which is cool. It's cool to see them continue this series. And I mentioned when I watched this trailer that it was just cool to see like Mario in a fresher context than we're used to seeing. I know Odyssey was pretty fresh, but I don't know, like all of these like side Mario games, it's like, yeah, there's Mario, there's the tropes, I get it. But this felt exciting and new, and
yeah.
I was impressed. I was suitably impressed by this trailer.
Yeah, I agree.
No, you go, Mitch. You go first.
No, you go. I like it when you talk.
Well, mine'll be quick. I will say this. Because I can tell that the chat doesn't really like me right now. So let me, if I could only take a moment to suck my fart back up off the head of anybody's baby brother. When I said I had the general feeling that this direct was just like, okay, definitely not one of the bad ones, but like not anything special. I also, in my head, I can't program my brain to give it credit for Mario plus Rabbids because yeah. I knew about that on Saturday.
No, me too. That's fair.
In reality, Nintendo, in terms of Nintendo's showing at E3, they should get credit for Mario plus Rabbids, which is a big, awesome new thing that I am excited about. But I just, when I think of this direct and when I think of what's fresh today, I'm not giving them points on that. I'm not, and they deserve the extra credit on that one, even though it was shown on Saturday. So the fart's back in me, and Nintendo got a couple more bonus points because Mario plus Rabbids 2 looks great.
It really does. I was kind of thinking that the next Rabbids Tactics game should be, maybe they should just hop around the video game industry and like the next one is Kratos plus Rabbids. I don't know, but I like that they are forwarding not just the idea of Rabbids and Mario crossing over, but the actual story of the first game. It seems to funnel into this. The focus on Mario Galaxy specifically, I think, gives it so much more color and personality. Because the first game was based on like the block aesthetic that originated primarily in Super Mario Bros. 3, and then came back in 3D Land and 3D World, and a little bit in the new Super Mario Bros. Games as just like, hey, the Mushroom Kingdom is a place with a bunch of big plastic blocks. And that is probably my least favorite depiction of the Mushroom Kingdom, and I really like what that first Mario and Rabbids game did, but like I don't really like the way that a lot of the environments looked and stuff. And this, I love the way that Galaxy looks. I think it has a lot more character in comparison, and using that as a jumping off point reminds me kind of how it used to feel when Paper Mario used Mario 64 as a jumping off point, or Thousand Year Door used Mario Sunshine as a jumping off point. And then they kind of stopped doing that. And then by the time Sticker Star happened, Paper Mario was sort of in a really rough place. And then later Mario and Luigi got in a really rough place. And this feels like a big return for the feel of the world building of good Mario RPGs and great like Mario character moments. I'm very, very excited for Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope. It is in competition. It is no longer my game of the show, but it was for a while my game of all of E3. It looked great.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we want to play that game, the game of choosing the game of E3 on this episode. But
sure.
That's an E3 wrap up topic. But yeah. I will say, you know, people are worried that the Illumination Mario Brothers movie won't be good. But I think that after playing Mario and Rabbids, I think the winning formula they hit on was that you got to put the Mario cast next to some minions.
Yeah.
I think that Illumination minions are the same thing as Rabbids. And, you know, just hit it, man. Give one of them a cell phone and let it take selfies. And yeah, everyone, now you got to
make sure it's
it.
A strategy movie.
Yeah, that's true. You know, people are hard on those movies. They're fine. They're for kids. They're cute.
Yeah, I think they're spotty. I think their Grinch was bad. But I like their
Grinch was bad. I was talking about the Minions, not all of Illumination.
Jeff,
sure. Despicable Me.
I swear to God, if you start a campaign to get me to watch the Minion movies.
No.
Don't do that.
It's going to be Shrek. And if we ever get Shrek done, we're moving on to Ice Age.
I think you have a perception, and correct me if I'm wrong. I want to know if this is correct.
We're talking about Shrek. We're really doing this.
I think that you have a perception that the quality of Shrek is like a good DreamWorks movie or like Despicable Me, where it's like, oh, yeah, that was pretty cute. Like, I think that's where you think the quality of Shrek is. Is that correct?
What, that it's pretty cute?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you know, you'd watch it and you'd be like, oh, yeah, sure.
Thought of this E3 Direct.
It's like, I see the appeal. Wasn't for me, but I get it.
Right. Like okay. So I feel like I feel like that's kind of what I was getting at. Right. Now that I know that, I can tell you you're wrong and that you'd really love Shrek. You would just really, really like Shrek.
Legit, Heil would enjoy watching Shrek.
So I think Kyle would enjoy watching Shrek for a lot of the same reasons people like Donkey Kong.
I just point out that G-Man is saying we, the audience of the conversation, think Kyle should watch Shrek 1 and Shrek 2. But as we started talking about Shrek, we have shed 7 viewers. So I don't know. I think maybe the conversation audience has my back on this.
No.
They super don't.
We mentioned the word Shrek once, and at least 7 people, 30% of your audience, was like, ooh, Shrek, I guess I should watch that. That's a great movie. Everyone was like, I was reminded that Shrek exists. Gotta watch it now. That's a third of your audience.
Wow. You're just bringing me down in all sorts of ways. Tonight,
hey,
Jeff.
I want to make it easier on you. There is no reason to watch the third Shrek movie.
Okay.
Or the fourth one. One's better than the third one, but still.
Fourth is like fine if you're really jonesing for more after 2, but you don't have to watch 3.
While I appreciate that arguing about Shrek has become some sort of E3 tradition for all of us, maybe now is not the time.
I think it was the 2018 Nintendo E3 wrap-up episode, actually, when we first started talking about Shrek.
It's the only time all 3 of us can get together, you know?
Because I remember doing it in the Koreatown apartment we had.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad apartment. It was pretty small, but we made it work.
No, it was great. It was in a really weird, geometry in terms of how to get to it in the apartment building. But it was a good place.
All right. Well, now this is the portion of the conversation where I let you two talk about the other games you might want to talk about. So if you want to talk about Advance Wars, hey, this is where you get to just rub it all over my face.
Listen, I'm mostly excited for the remake of Advance Wars. But it's a tie between that and the remake of Fatal Frame. But it's also a tie between that and the remake of Monkey Ball. And a tie between that and the remake of Mario Party levels.
You just don't want to make any friends in the chat, do you?
I want everyone to be excited about their stuff. But I just think this was like a medium cool, okay, E3. People are really excited about remakes. And if they were remakes for games I loved, I'd be excited too. But I also think, like, you know.
I mean, it's exciting if you haven't had much in the way of entries. It's just like acknowledgement that, oh, yeah, hey, this exists.
I get that.
I'm the same way with remakes because I see all this campaign for like the Banjo-Kazooie remasters or remakes, and I'm just like, if we're going to get a Banjo property, I would want it to be a new game. I don't like. There's not much that I would really like get me really excited about playing Banjo-Kazooie
I would be into Banjo remakes. I think if we got them, it would blow the load on any market desire for more Banjo. And then if they were going to try and parlay that into an actual sequel, it probably wouldn't be as successful, because any market like nostalgia for more Banjo will be satisfied with whichever one you do first. And I don't, you know what I mean? I don't think it's fine. Do what I'd rather have remakes than nothing.
Yeah. I mean, look, basically that's where I'm at. I'd rather have remakes than nothing, but also I'm not like hoping for the, just the crash model of let's do the remake and then maybe we'll get a new game. Just like, I'll just get a new game. Just get a new game. But hey,
well, yeah, I mean, I think the reason people are asking for remakes is because it is so much easier to remake a game than to make a new game. So they feel like, oh, I'm not asking for like a whole new game, just, you know, maybe a remake, which is fair. It's less work on the developers. I think the way to go in terms of not running into the problem that Jeff said, where you like you want the big new Banjo game that's coming out to be the first thing, so it has the most excitement behind it, would be to announce it first and then get people thinking about it. And then later, in the interim between the announcement and the actual game coming out, you announce and release a remake. So you get both the benefit of people focusing on the big new game and the benefit of people like that maybe weren't paying attention being warmed up to the new game by playing the remake. That said, I also kind of just don't want remakes of Banjo-Kazooie. I don't know if I feel like I'll ever, this is just a me problem. I don't feel like I'll ever like a modernized art style on those games. The way that looks is just too special to me, but maybe I'll see a new one and I'll be proven wrong about that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Metroid Dread is kind of cool.
Yeah. I don't want to fight you, Jeff, on any of the remakes, because I totally, I really do agree with you for the most part. I would say that, like, well, there's kind of something to the Advance Wars one because of how quiet that series has been. But, you know, I agree with you in terms of, like, how exciting just remasters of things are in general. The two things that I walked out of this direct feeling really good about were Metroid Dread, and, you know, people seem to not be taken with the Breath of the Wild 2 trailer, but they're like every frame was something I both didn't know was going to be in the game because it wasn't in the past game, and wouldn't have never guessed. Like it kind of feels like if you just watched the Sea of Thieves Pirate's Life trailer and just thought, oh, so Jack Sparrow's going to be in it, and then you're like, well, did you? There's so many other things. Like this is a game that's never had new areas, and now it has the port town in it, and like all of these new enemies changed the game significantly. And like if you're not playing Sea of Thieves, you're not up to date, you're not gonna like catch that, and that's fine. You know, it's not important to me that everyone like enjoys Breath of the Wild, but I am just saying there's a lot of really cool stuff in that trailer that kind of blew my mind a little bit. So I felt like I was felt like I was going out of my mind a little bit when I heard like, oh well, certainly looked like more Breath of the Wild. And I was like, wait, what? What?
I respect that. I mean, I totally get that, Mitchell. And that analogy, putting it in rare terms so I could understand it.
You nailed it with that analogy, because I would have probably, if you didn't do that, I would have been like, yeah, I'm with the people. But then you were like, imagine if they did this for Sea of Thieves in this way. And I was like, oh, I get it. So yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
Thanks for explaining it. Thanks for dumbing it down for us in terms that Jeff and I could understand, Mitchell. Because
no problem for us.
I mean, but I think that for me, either way, whether it's cool and exciting, RE Breath of the Wild fandom, or not, which I assume it is because you are excited. Whether it is or isn't, it was kind of a thing that I expected, like to see. It wasn't like it's not like Metroid Dread In that way, where like we all kind of knew we would see more Breath of the Wild, and I think some people maybe expected they would see even more than we did, and get more information than we did. Other than
I definitely did. I'm not saying I'm completely content with it. I am just saying that I liked it. Like I predicted on the preview episode that it would be the holiday title this year, and it looks like I may be off by as much as a whole year. That feels a little bad.
I think,
but
to an extent, it's a bit of just saying, like, it's not that it was bad, it's that we all kind of knew it was going to be a thing. So it's like, it's still big, but there's a cap on how big it can be when it's not a surprise. Mm-hmm. And then that didn't even give us a title for it, which I thought it would have been a good time to do that. And they just gave us the year, not even saying, you know, expect Breath of the Wild sequel coming early 2022. Like, we didn't even get that. So it just kind of feels like, yeah, what we got out of it was cool, but we knew we were going to get something. So this is like just what we expected, and maybe even less. Metroid Dread.
The name thing does upset me. I'll totally give you that any time. Because it would be so free, you know? It would be so free for them to just name it. Name the game. Like, you've been telling us about it for 2 years. Just give it a name. Give it a fake name and change it later. Who cares?
I feel confident it has a name. It's got to have a name already, but you're not going to tell it.
Shelves called the sequel to Breath of the Wild. It'll probably have a name.
I mean, this is Nintendo, so it'd be New Breath of the Wild.
I can't tell you things I want less than that. That is one of the least things I want.
So Metroid Dread, let's just talk about it.
Okay. Yeah.
What I'll say with that is this, is that just about everybody saw coming that we were getting 2D Metroid, right? That was in the rumor mill pretty heavily. And Mitchell, kudos to you on the preview. You basically wrote the script on introducing this game when you said that they're going to say that they're going to bring up Prime 4. They're going to say it's still in development, but you're going to have to wait a little longer, and we'd like you to look at this Metroid game instead. Like, you just nailed it beat for beat. And not that that's like a wild prediction, but you know, you get points when you get points.
I appreciate that, but it is basically cribbing the script exactly from how they've been talking about Breath of the Wild 2 for the last 2 years. because this would have been the third time in a row they did that, because they had just done it with the introduction of Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity, and then also again with Skyward Sword HD. And they almost did it a third time, but they decided to not completely ignore it this time and give a little gameplay.
Yeah, Mitchell, I'm just curious. Were you worried that you were going to see any of Breath of the Wild when that Zelda sequence started?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, because they said, here's the last reveal, and they talked about Skyward Sword. But then it turns out the last reveal was the Zelda block and not specifically Skyward Sword, but for a second my heart sunk.
I actually had the opposite reaction when my heart sank when they did start showing Breath of the Wild, because and I'll explain why. Now the chat's mad at me again. Let me say this.
Yeah, hold on. Can I just say Crinkle Roots said, "I want Jeff evicted from my ears."
I know. I'm reading. Okay, hear it out of your mouth too.
I want future generations to hear this. I don't want it lost to time.
From the moment when they said we have just like the one more announcement, and they start going into, was it Skyward Sword or was it Age of Calamity first?
Age of Calamity.
Oh, no, you're right. It did start with Age of Calamity.
Age of Calamity. So they said one more thing, and they start showing Age of Calamity, and my gears start turning, and I'm thinking, okay, we're not going to see Breath of the Wild or Donkey Kong. And in a weird way, that lessens the blow about Donkey Kong, because now it's just super obvious that they have a lot of big stuff coming that they're not showing. And I'm thinking, like, Well, you can say to people, hey, you know, yeah, we didn't see that Donkey Kong, but we didn't see the new Kirby or any of Breath of the Wild or any of Splatoon 3, and it's just a COVID year, right? And I'm thinking that this lack of Breath of the Wild is such a nice little boon for not seeing Donkey Kong in terms of just demonstrating to people how they have stuff in development we're not seeing. And then they showed it, and I was like, oh, well, there goes that. I guess it's just Donkey Kong fans that have to be sad. But that's okay. You know, I'm glad that they showed it, because that would be some bullshit if they didn't show it.
Yeah, well, I wonder if we can, like, do a field trip or an exchange student program with whatever the highest rated Kirby podcast is. Because I imagine that, you know, we're not really talking about it because frankly, I kind of don't care. But I imagine that they have the same reaction we do right now, where there was something going on and it's just not time for it yet. It seems like there's a lot of that going around. Mario Kart, the Mario Kart podcast, I'm sure gets millions of listeners compared to this. I'm sure that Mario Kart gets the most listeners and sales to their podcasts. It's fine, you know? It's fine. E3's fine. E3's lame also, though. If we can talk about just E3.
Oh, yeah, okay, as a general E3, like, the E3 itself, that's why I said quote-unquote E3, because this E3 was kind of a joke as far as E3. Let me tell you, my media credentials mean nothing. Because
aren't you doing a whole podcast on that topic yet to go?
Yeah, yeah. So I that's a preview. That's a preview of Friday, where I say, hey, this E3 was kind of a joke, and I'll explain why. But this was, yeah, I mean, E3 means nothing without the actual convention, yeah. Without the expo itself.
I'll bring this up now, because, Heil, I doubt that you watched it, but I gave watching the Capcom show a try.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Literally, the worst show I've ever seen in E3. Ever. Any company. They actually, literally, did not reveal new information of any kind. Any kind. At all. Any game. they highlighted some games that we already knew about, and they explained some stuff about them that we already knew about. And then they talked about some Capcom fighting game tournament stuff, which even the tournaments, which are like not game stuff, did not introduce new tournaments. They just talked about the concept of tournaments and like talked about what players have been doing well lately. And then they're like, well, thanks for hanging out with us. We paid a lot of money just to waste time. And I'm glad to have you look at me. And then they left. And that was Capcom's E3 this year. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff.
So for moral,
you can rearrange the letter. You can rearrange the letters in Capcom and spell Pac-Man.
Yeah, that's why they named him that.
Well, we'll get into the deficiencies of the structure of E3 on Friday's show. But let's talk about Metroid Dread. God.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Mitchell keeps getting away from it. So I was saying, when I kind of got started into it, was we all basically felt like we were going to see a 2D Metroid.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that it is about what I expected it to be.
Oh.
Except that I didn't think it would actually just, like, be called Dread.
I did technically predict this, but it was always an optimistic prediction for me. Because I even kind of called that it was called Dread. But that was mainly because the thing I want out of Metroid is just to move the story forward, because Metroid games really do have a running story. They're probably Nintendo's most, like, timeline and lore friendly series out of all of them. And it ended at Metroid 4, which is Fusion. And then it just did interquels and prequels the entire rest of the time. And I was getting ready to think, like, well, maybe they'll just never go beyond Fusion in the timeline, because it could, where Fusion left things off, it could genuinely end with Samus dying, and that would be a weird thing for a Nintendo character. So maybe they'll just never go past it. So I was optimistically saying, yes, it should be Metroid 5, and it should be Dread. But I was thinking in the back of my head, this is Mercury Steam, and they did the remake of Metroid 2 on the 3DS, Samus Returns, and I could see their next project being remaking Super Metroid, or Metroid Fusion, in the same way. So the fact that it wasn't that, and they really just, like, reached out and grabbed the thing they should have done, is a distinctly un-Nintendo feeling to me. Because I feel like I'm always yelling into the void, Nintendo, just do the thing! Just, like, just do it! Just, like, come on, actually go out, and, like, you know what you need to do, just go ahead and do it! And they're like, Skyward Sword? And I'm like, okay, Nintendo, okay. And I'm always there. I'm always gonna buy product and get excited for next product because I'm broken.
You but, are. You're like, part of the problem, Mitchell.
I am absolutely part of the problem. I don't vote with my wallet. I don't know how. I'm sort of I'm enabled by society.
Meanwhile, I spent $40 on Dixie Kong in Mario Kart Tour, so
I haven't bought a Switch game in 2 years.
Yeah, no, good on you. Sure.
I mean, it's really hard to, as a consumer who doesn't have a lot of extra money, because when I look at my Xbox and I have Game Pass and I have a monthly subscription that gives me games all the time, and then I look at my PlayStation and they say, oh, this game that we made, it's the best game this year. Wait 6 months and you can get it for $12. Like, I'm like, yeah, cool, I'll buy that for $12. And then meanwhile, Nintendo's like, hey, remember Captain Toad Treasure Tracker? We made a port of it. It's going to be $60 for the next 50 years. It will never drop a penny. And I'm like, I guess I'll never play a Toad game or a Yoshi game or any game. I don't play any. I mean, what? I'm going to buy the Mario Rabbids game. But anyway, let me say this about Mario Metroid Dread.
Mario Metroid.
Yeah. A lot of the chat is hating you, Jeff.
I said, I'm too good for Captain Toad? Yes, Captain Toad can suck my dick if I'm paying $60 for that game. That's ridiculous. God of War is $7. It's one of the games of the years that happened.
No, I do agree with Jeff. I think that Nintendo's pricing this console generation is out of control. The Wii U actually had some variants where things like Captain Toad launched at G-Man saying $40, but then Captain Toad comes back for Switch, like $60. It's gotta be. It has to be, because it's a Switch game. And that sucks, because I think that the idea of a kid growing up with Nintendo games, like, that's what Game Boy games were always all about. Maybe you can't afford GameCube games every month, but you could. Not every month, that'd be wild. But, like, you know, a couple a year maybe. But you could probably afford a couple Game Boy games, because they were always cheaper. And now that doesn't exist, and not only does that not exist, but the home console version is more expensive than it's always been. And if this were part of Xbox's presentation, if Metroid Dread were part of Xbox's presentation, and I guess it just had Metroid had always been an Xbox series or something, it would be the easiest sell for every person just to be like, hey, you've never played a Metroid game? This one seems very important. Just check it out, you know, because you would get this idea of Game Pass. And like, I try to not think of, you know, pricing structures in terms of how I appreciate games in general, because, you know, the development team, I assume, has no say over how much their games cost. But, you know, it's a real thing. And if for things like the things in this Direct, it's a lot of things I am excited about. The WarioWare game, I am psyched on. Like, it has a very different vibe to it than most
WarioWare games. I'll say this about WarioWare real quick, and then I have some thoughts about Metroid Dread. I like the part where you have to, like, pull the body hair off the man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. That's some Death Stranding shit.
Because as someone who likes manscaping but hates doing it,
You hate eating.
I know, but I like to be smooth in places. And if Wario could do it for me, that would be a win-win. I would invite him over once every like 2 weeks. Be like, have at it.
This is what I wanted to say about Metroid Dread, was that the idea that it was Metroid, that this new two, I was for sure like, we're getting a 2D Metroid, and I was not at all surprised that it was Metroid 5. But the reason I wasn't surprised, and I'll fully admit this, is that I haven't been keeping up. I don't know much about the timeline. And so when I had gotten the idea in my head that, yeah, there was that team that just did a 2D Metroid on the 3DS, I bet they're making another one because people are talking about it. And in my head, who doesn't care or pay attention, I was like, well, if they're making another 2D Metroid, it's going to be a sequel to the last one that happened. And it's just, and so they come in and they're like, and even with that, I vaguely knew, like, yeah, the Metroid Prime games are mid-quills or prequels or whatever. And like, I knew that there was some point where they hadn't advanced the timeline. But I was like, oh, but they're making a new 2D one, so the new 2D one will advance the timeline, because that's what the 2D ones do. And so it wasn't as special to me because I wasn't in the know. I was in the know vaguely on the fact that Dread was specifically the name of a game that had been canceled.
Yeah.
And so I didn't miss the significance of that. When they said it was Metroid Prime 5, I was like, okay, sure, of course. That's not special. But then when they said it's Metroid Dread, I was like, ooh, fan pleasy. But can I also say, I don't really give a shit about these robots that are chasing you. I like the Metroid that I played where all the creatures are like bug aliens, not robots. So, you know, fuck off with that. I want to fight bug aliens.
Okay, Jeff. All right. Here's what I want to say about Metroid Dread. And because I don't have a lot of insight to give, but I understand the significance of this and why this is a big deal for Metroid fans and why I'm so happy for them. Because I can empathize. I can put myself in their shoes. This has been compared to Donkey Kong Racing as far as like this big wanted game that went away. And it haunted the fandom forever. And I get that, and I agree with that. But there's also another comparison to be had here. And this feeds into the timeline angle, because Mitchell, you're talking about how no other Nintendo franchises really adhere to a timeline like this. And I was thinking, well, once upon a time, there was one. For three games, Star Fox had a very linear timeline that the games built on each other. The end of one game opened up the new possibilities for the next one, and there would be character growth, and characters would move on, and alliances would change, relationships would change. And so, to me, this would be the equivalent of them announcing a new Star Fox game and saying, hey, guess what? It takes place after Command. And it's crystals in it, and Cameron and I would both be like, whoa! That's the sounds we would make. So like this is like Donkey Kong Racing and the fourth game in the Dinosaur Planet chronology, all in one. So I'm so happy for the Metroid fandom. They deserve it because they've been through a lot.
There was a little developer interview or documentary or whatever that they played at the beginning of Treehouse where Sakamoto-san was talking about his experience with Metroid Dread, and he had explained about 15 years ago, which, A, that's already wild, but about 15 years ago, they had started to work on Metroid Dread. And what was very interesting to me was not just that it was Metroid 5 and it was called Dread. He was clear, like, this is still the same idea for the game. We couldn't realize it at the time. And then they tried a second time. And this is the third iteration of Metroid Dread. And they're still going for the same idea. And the reason that's so interesting to me is because what he could have done was said, okay, well, Dread was too ambitious of a concept for Metroid 5, but there should still be another fifth Metroid. If you told him that, I guess his reaction would have been, well, no, the fifth Metroid is Dread. We can't do it yet. For 20 years, for nearly 20 years, the fifth Metroid was a game called Dread, and he knew exactly what it was about, and he couldn't do it yet. which is such a admirable thing, in my opinion. Like, it must be frustrating for a Metroid fan saying, like, no, I just, if you can't do Dread, just do another one. But at the same time, he's saying, like, well, I can't do another one because whatever is next is Dread, and I can't do it yet.
Yeah, I mean,
so yeah,
it's like George Lucas. He couldn't do the Star Wars prequels for 16 years because he didn't have the technology to bring pod racing to life. But once he did, then here we go.
Here's yeah. a little mini toot on the baby brother. What about it? Couldn't I watched it? I looked. It looks like fun. What about that couldn't have been done 10 years ago? Or 20 years ago.
We didn't have robots back then, Jeff. Now,
oh, robots yeah, they didn't
invent robots yet.
Yeah, robots just got invented. That's true.
I would wager that whatever
is that
it is,
a stupid question? Okay.
No, I would just say that the robot thing seems to be, it's called Emmy, by the way. It seems to be an important part of the game, but the way they're talking about it, it's not like the part of the game. It's not like the reason it exists. It seems to be a very marketable angle of the game. I would not be surprised if there's something to Dread that we'll find out when it comes out. That maybe people will be like, oh, well, that's why. Or, I don't know, game dev is weird. Some things that you'd think, like, well, this other game did it, why can't I? It turns out that in a specific context, it just becomes 100 times harder to do for some reason.
I bet it's like the film Boyhood, where they had to film some stuff with a baby, and then they had to wait 15 years so that his and they'll both be in the game, but it's like we can't make Metroid 5 until the kid ages up. Like, he's still growing. And then he grows and he's kind of gross as a teenager, and you're like, listen, we could never predict how this kid was gonna go. He's a little gross, but like, get Ethan Hawke in here and let's film the shit.
What they didn't say about Metroid Dread is that the campaign of the game is 15 years long. So they've
just,
you know,
it's a real-time game.
Yeah, they've been making about a day of gameplay every day.
G-Man is asking Jeff, are you drunk? And I think the answer to that is the only sober one here is Mitchell.
I'm not drunk with power. I'm feeling like I'm winning.
I mean, I'm
drunk on buddies. I'm here with my buddies, and it yeah. makes me happy.
Yeah, buddies this light. Is my favorite part of E3, by the way, increasingly, is just hanging out with you two.
We can't hang out in the same room, so I don't
have... rare people.
Yeah, like, this is like E3, but without all the saving graces of E3, which is hanging out with my friends and getting, like, industry contacts and doing some guerrilla journalism.
You know,
both
that's
terms.
That's a fun war reaction when Mitchell earnestly says, my favorite thing is hanging out with you people. And Heil angrily says, yeah, but it sucks now.
No, it's great hanging out with you in this phantom digital studio of ours. But it's not the same as hanging out at the Love Shack or Koreatown. Or, you know, it's not the same.
Yeah,
which
but
one
Heil
was
just
Love Shack?
That was 2019. I was there for that.
Oh, yeah.
Heil, all you have to do if you're worried about, you know, hanging out in person, getting to a real E3 with a real live presentation, is you put up that treehouse waiting sign that says, we'll be back.
Yeah.
And we will. We will be back.
If there's anything to leave our thoughts on Nintendo's E3 with, it's... Would you rather the Donkey, if it exists, would you rather this giant mainline Donkey Kong game be announced now or when there's a show floor, when people can actually get hands-on impressions and there's going to be a lot more marketing dollars put into it? Because this was one of the least exciting general, like, across the board E3s. I liked Nintendo's show quite a bit, but on average, it was a really bad E3. I don't want the Donkey Kong game to be attached to this. I would prefer it happen earlier than later, but next year's probably going to be way better.
Jeff has something he wants to say, and then I have something I want to say. So Jeff, because you are my buddy, and I just cut you off,
you cut me off to introduce me, which is great.
Yeah, because I have to reassert my dominance here before we end the episode.
This is like you came up to shake my hand and then you also grabbed my elbow. I'm like, all right, he's really going at it. No, listen, if the question is, do we want it at a better E3 or the worse E3? Obviously better, but the trade-off is waiting an entire year. Yeah. And in that year, it's going to be quite a there will be frustrating times when people are expecting it every direct, and if it doesn't happen, it's a repeated punch to the nuts. It's like a graze. It's like a graze to the nuts, because we're still going to have the faith and be like, well, it's coming, but you know, it's not like right in the nuts, but like it's grazing those nuts and you're kind of like feeling like you might throw up, and every direct might be like that, and you never know. And we just have this awful gut, like, oh, I hope it just ends. And I do want it to end, but I also really want to be inside a physical prop treehouse in Los Angeles. Or at least look at one from the outside.
Because I look back at those like photos of people in the blast barrel from like Tropical Freezes Reveal 2013 or even Returns Reveal 2010. I'm like, ah, why couldn't I have been inside that barrel? I've never been inside a barrel before. I want to see what it feels like.
Yeah.
But you've never really been to Niagara Falls.
They really stepped their budget up with those things starting in 2016 when they made Hyrule from Breath of the Wild in that area.
And then New Dunk City.
Yeah. That one was amazing. That's still the best one.
Yeah, I look back at my photos of that all the time.
Yeah, they made Final Destination from Smash Ultimate, and everyone was like, I'm very glad to play Smash Ultimate. I've never wanted to go to Final Destination.
No. It's a scary place.
Because you don't get to come back. That's the title of it. Like,
yeah, I'm still there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
And then Heil had something to say.
I did, so Jeff.
I'm just going to finish up and pass it over to Heil.
Oh, thank you.
And he'll say his last thing.
Yeah, Heil, what do you have to say?
Oh, well, thank you so much, both of you, for introducing me. So I think a good way to look at it is, like, obviously the community wants to know, when are we going to get this Donkey Kong game? And, oh, whoa, woe is us. Why didn't we get it at this E3? But... Mitchell, you're absolutely right. This E3 was dog shit. So I know that wasn't, you know, your exact phraseology, and you've been quite complimentary of Nintendo's Direct, but it was just a big stinky pile of poo, by and large. I liked a lot of things in the Xbox Direct. Mario plus Rabbids, Sparks of Hope looks pretty cool. But shit. Shit all around. And I remember back to the Smash ballot when everybody wanted to get K. Rool into Super Smash Brothers for Nintendo 3DS and Wii U. And I know, like, you have some fond memories of that iteration of Smash. The both of you do, right? Because you played it with your buddies.
Yeah, it's a college game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had buddies back then.
But
yeah, I'm done with this now.
Ultimately, you know, and no pun intended, but maybe a pun intended, because it makes me look more clever if I didn't realize I just used that word when I wasn't actually leading up to that. But if I can think people like I'm some sort of crazy wordsmith, that's great. Wow, I need to stop drinking. Hey, so Super Smash Brothers Ultimate was where we got K. Rool. And I think that meant so much more because as a game, it was more universally beloved. The moment was a bigger deal to get K. Rool back than it would have been had we got him like at the tail end of Super Smash Brothers 4. And so I think I'm not somebody who says everything happens to a reason, because, you know, there's randomness in this universe. But I think generally the way things work out for Donkey Kong fans, they tend to work out for the best in a long run. And I think when the time is right, this game will get revealed. And that will be, we'll feel at that moment like, okay, you know, E3 2021 wasn't the time for it. This is the time for it. This is the time for Donkey Kong. It feels right now. So, yeah, we just got to wait. We just have to be patient. We know how to do it. We've done it so many times before. And it's not like, you know, things are so terrible right now. You know, we're going to be just fine. We're going to be fine until we get there. And we will get there. Trust me. So, yeah. Unless you want to talk about Advance Wars, Mitchell.
Wario did not fart.
Wario?
Yeah.
You're wrong about two things.
Just two.
Wario didn't fart, but Jeff has been just flatulent all over his brother, who just got married.
Not my brother. Although I probably did fart on him at the wedding. Because it's a gassy day, you know. It's you only have one.
Yeah.
Your little brother only gets married once, so you know
a lot of rich foods.
Yeah. No, I was farting on the audience's brothers, Kyle. Let's keep a little continuity.
No,
here.
I can't keep track of your complex character dynamics, Jeff. This is why. I mean, look, for 20 years, we had nothing but Jeff prequels and Jeff interquels. And you expect me to, like, keep track of current Jeff continuity? I can't do it.
Insert fart noise here on the edit.
Great. Now I've okay. Now I have to insert a fart noise.
Yeah.
So tune in Friday. Friday, we will be doing our E3 wrap-up. It'll be another live episode. That'll be a change. And we'll give our final thoughts on the show as a whole. We'll get into some juicy behind-the-scenes gossip about how shit the E3 media site was. And we'll talk about Everwild, what's been happening with Everwild. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
And we'll put on our happy faces, and we'll look forward to the future, to the bright, shining horizon with optimism again. We got this out of our system, and you know what? We'll be all right, DK fans. Just trust me. We're in this together, and we're going to get there. For now, let the Metroid fans have their fun, because you know what this means. When the Donkey Kong game gets announced, we're not going to get shit for it from them. We're going to get shit from the Odyssey 2 hopers and dreamers out there, but you know, we'll deal with that when the time comes. At the very least, Metroid fans won't be farting on our little brothers. How about that?
Yeah. And Matt, I also say hi. I'll make sure to drink extra water tonight.
You too, Jeff. You too.
All right.
All right.
Really, the end of the episode? Is that it?
The live ones are harder to end, Mitch.
That's true.
They're live.
This has been a File 2 production.
Que rico.